Well, hello there, and welcome to this life coaching webinar called The Making of a Champion. And I know that as you're watching, you are watching because that's who you are. You're a champion. Maybe you might not feel like one right now. Maybe you might be saying, well, I think I need to be a champion, but I'm not yet. So this teaching is really going to help you not only to give you some keys on how to step into championship in your life, but also to reinforce those things that you already know. And one of the things I love about life coaching is that it offers personal growth and development that touch many areas of growth in you. So I'm so happy to have you with us to join me tonight in this seminar. Now, to get the most out of it, let me share with you, this is some national testing labs in Bethel, Maine, conducted a study called the Adult Research Study, and they discovered these following results. They discovered, first of all, the retention rate for just sitting under a lecture, like perhaps you're just there watching your computer right now and you're listening to what's being said, your retention rate will only be 5% if you're only listening. Of course, if you are taking notes and concentrating and taking notes, that increases that probably up to about 15%. If you discuss the lecture, have interaction, it increases it by 50%. Now, in a live webinar, it's difficult to have that kind of interaction live, but what we do offer is in the last half hour, we have you asking questions or giving comments or, you know, digging a little bit more. So if you want to ask a question for the last half hour, as we're going through the webinar, write those questions down or comments. You might have something great to contribute for everyone to hear. Maybe things that you've learned in life that might help other people. The more you give out to others, the more you receive back yourself. And so, think about discussing this lecture, and definitely afterwards, like, you know, maybe discuss some of the points with some friends or other family members, because the more that you can talk about it, the more you discuss it, the more that you chat about the different points, the more that you share with others, the more it will be retained. I remember a little while ago, I was having a friend of mine help me with some marketing points because I had never taken any courses in marketing, and she was a professional marketer, so I asked her to sit me down and teach me the ABCs. And so she taught me one session over dinner one night. I took notes and asked her questions about it. And then after that, I just began to share it and ask questions with others about it and just go over and over. The more I talked about it, the more I discussed it with others, the more I discussed it with her, the more I retained, until I actually retained it perfectly enough to be able to teach the little bit that she taught me, I could teach it to others. So discussion will help you boost your retention rate to 50%. Now, if you activate the lecture, in other words, if you start working the lecture, the things that you learn, you know, taking notes, and then you start doing the things, doing the different tips that we share with you, then your retention rate will increase to 70%. This is according to their survey that they did. And then if you go and teach it to others, the things that you're taught in this lecture, you go and share it with others, teach it to others, help others come through it, go through your notes and show others how they can become a champion, then you can retain up to 90%. Of course, the more that you do it, the more you retain. So I just want to encourage you to get the most you can out of it. I mean, if you simply listen to these lessons, you're definitely going to get something valuable out of it, but you can get a lot more out of it if you listen, if you take notes, if you discuss, if you activate, if you review, and if you share. Okay, so I'll just leave it there, and I'm actually taping this from Phoenix, Arizona, and it is in the month of July, and the weather outside is like 111 degrees or something like that. And it's very hot out. So we've actually left the aircon on in the studio. So if you feel, you know, if you hear a little bit of a boom sound, it's just the air conditioning coming back on, because if we don't, we'll cook in here because it's so hot outside that eventually that heat will come through. So, all right. Well, in this day and hour, we know that many are suffering from hardships and different challenges in life, and perhaps you are right now. Maybe you've got a challenge in a particular area of your life, maybe relationship, maybe financial, maybe a health challenge, you know, whatever it is, like join the club of humanity at this time. But the beauty of hardships, the beauty of challenge is that you are created by God to overcome each and every one of them. And of course, when you overcome, that makes you a champion. You partake of the champion anointing that is in Jesus Christ. It's awesome. So what is a champion? And you know, when I think of champions, I think of heroes, and every generation has their heroes. And you were created not only to examine heroes, but to be one. You are a hero to someone in your life. And God has brought you to this webinar so that He could empower you to be a hero in your life. And others are going to learn. You're called. You, yes, you are a champion. In fact, say over yourself, I am a champion. Okay, so what is a champion? Number one, a champion is the victor in a challenge or a fight. So if there's a challenge such as, you know, David and Goliath, for example, they were having a challenge, a testing of power, and David won that battle. We'll maybe discuss that a little bit later. So that makes him a champion, okay? The champion is a victor in a challenge or fight. It's also the defender of a righteous cause. You're championing a cause, such as our ministry is involved in anti-trafficking. And so we've got our workers over in Asia in particular dealing not only on the ground with children at risk, little children who have been, you know, really traumatized and terrorized through human trafficking. They're actual sex slaves. We've had the privilege of delivering them out of that. And so those workers on the ground there, whether they're taking the kids out of that situation directly or whether they're working with the government agencies on it and directly confronting certain things, that makes them a champion because they're championing a cause. Do you have a cause, a righteous cause, a cause of justice that you can contend for? Because if you do, if you've got that in your heart, it makes you a champion. And the other is the winner in a race. And we know that, you know, if you watch the Olympic Games and that, you'll see that they have the gold medalists, the silver medalists, the bronze medalists. So we call them champions, right? And everyone's running for the gold, the gold medal, because that's the highest level of championship in those athletic competitions. And so in a race, a champion is the winner. Now, I love what the Apostle Paul said in the book of Philippians. He said that he runs, he lives his life just like a race in order to win. He runs to win. He lives his life to win so that he can have the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, in Jesus, there's not just one winner. It's everyone who finishes strong is a winner. And so only you have your course in life to run. No one else can run your course, therefore no one else can win it. It's like God has designed you to run your course, and it is different from anyone else's. And what you're facing right now in life is what God has designed for you to be a champion in. And so a champion is a winner of a race. Now, here's some questions to ask yourself. Number one, do you see yourself as the champion and overcomer in every challenge or battle that you face in life? For instance, do you have a mindset of championship? When you face a battle, are you afraid of losing or are you expecting to win? Because a champion always expects to win. And so ask yourself, have I got a champion mindset? Am I expecting to win anything I face in life? Is that challenge going to work for me or against me? Because champions believe it will work for you. It'll be a stepping stone for you and not a stumbling block. Secondly, are you committed to standing for righteousness and to defending the rights of those who cannot defend themselves? Because if you have a heart for oppressed people, if you have a heart to help them, it doesn't matter if you're doing the heroics on the ground. If you have the heart to help oppressed people, then you are defined as a champion. You have the heart of a champion on the inside of you. Now, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And out of the abundance of the heart, the issues of life flow. So if you see yourself as a champion and you have desire to help others oppressed or those that are being treated with injustice, even if you're like a prayer warrior behind the scenes or if you're an advocate on the front lines, that makes you a champion. Thirdly, are you living your life at this time with eternity in your perspective? In other words, do you get up in the morning and say, I'm a winner today. I'm a champion. I'm living my life right now to run my race with an eternal perspective so that I run all the way into the glory of God, finishing my course strong. That you have this faith measure on the inside of you, willing to just give it all you have because your focus is on Jesus. Because if so, you're running your race of life as a champion. All right. Now, we're going to look at some characteristics of champions, and we're going to go through it quickly. I just want to say this, too. If you want further in-depth teaching with the worksheets and everything that goes with it, you can go on Patricia Life or PatriciaKingLifeCoach.com and go into the resource section or the store, and you can get the downloads or you can get the hard copies. This particular course, The Making of a Champion, comes with audio and DVD. And it comes with all the notes. We also have it for kids. And so you can take children through this. Because the more you train children to think in their mind and to believe that they're champions, the more they'll grow up with that. It says in the Bible, when you train up a child in the way they should go, or when you nurture them in that, then when they're old, they won't depart from that. They're going to stay within that mindset. So if you want your children or your grandchildren to grow up as champions, thinking that they're overcomers, believing in the power of Christ within them, then put those principles in them early. I believe that a lot of what I walk in today was as a result of my father putting these principles in me as a child. He would always say, you can do anything. You can do all things. And he wasn't even a Christian. He just believed that, you know, like if you really intended to do something and put your effort into it, you could do it. And so he said, there's no word like impossible. All things are possible. And he wasn't even a Christian yet at that time, but he knew the principles of the Word of God. He knew the principles of God. Now, characteristic number one, a true champion believes that God created them for success. Now, when you have ungodly beliefs about God, like I know that some people without realizing it, they have these hidden beliefs inside them thinking, well, maybe God's nice and good to some people, but for me, he just lets me suffer. He doesn't really care if I win or lose. He's just kind of absent in my life. That is not true. That's an unbelieving mindset about God. God is 100% for you. Do you hear that? He is on your side. He is your coach. In fact, he gave you Holy Spirit as your coach. And he created you. When you were first created, when he even thought of you, he didn't think of you as a failure. He created you for success. In Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16, it says, for you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. And my soul knows it very well. Do you know that about you? Do you know that God made you with this wonderment? There's no one like you. And he created you for success. It says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. You see, God even had a book before you even came into the manifestation of time with his best plan for you written in that book. And it's all about being an overcomer. You were created to overcome. You were created to be a champion. You were created to be a hero. You are a hero. You are created to be a hero of the faith. And God wants you to believe that he created you for success. Champions have been designed by God to fulfill a destiny plan for success. And that's found in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. So God's blueprint for you right now, no matter what you are facing, no matter what you're facing right now, God's blueprint for you is that you will go into goodness in God. His plans for you are for goodness. It's not for disaster. It's for success. It's not for failure. He has created you to give you future and hope. And those are the plans. That's the blueprint that he has for your life. Now, the enemy will try to get you off track to believe something different. But God wants you right now to cast down any unbelieving thoughts, any temptation that would say, oh, God's not committed to you to make you a champion. Cast all that down and just stand on the promise that God made you for complete success. That's his blueprint for you. Next, champions have ability and grace given by God to become what they were called to be. And it says in Philippians 2:13, for it is God who is at work with you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And you see, you don't have to create victories in life on your own. His grace has been given to you. His grace is at work within you to make you willing and to actually do it, to give you a grace to perform everything that he has for you. So not only does he have a plan for you, if you will kind of let go and let God and believe him for, a grace will come upon you that will empower you to line up with his will and purpose and to complete everything that he has for you. And so he is at work right now within you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So a true champion, what are some attributes of a true champion? Number one, a true champion acknowledges their God-given attributes and gifts. Did you know that you are unique because you've been fearfully and wonderfully made? And you have gifts and talents, abilities, motivations that other people don't have. God made your wiring. He made you like you are, you know, and you get to discover who you are. What are your gifts? Have you written down your gifts? I would like to invite you, write down your different talents, your abilities, your gifts, your motivations, the things that you love about yourself, the way that God made you. What are your attributes? And so, because everything is special, and you know, right from childhood, the enemy tries to get us to turn away from the gifts or the way that we were made. I'll give you an example. When I was in grade school, you know, I've always been a loud speaker. You know, I love to talk loud. I love to talk big, you know, and, you know, you can hear me a mile away sort of thing. And I didn't realize at the time that that was a gift. And kids would make fun of me. And my mother actually did make fun of me at times as well. And said, oh, Patricia, you're so loud. Come on, tone it down, you know. And sometimes I would be asked to talk less and that. And so I would deliberately try to make myself talk soft. In fact, this was so crazy. You're going to think this is crazy, but it's a little, you know, just a little vulnerability I'm going to open up to you, is that when I was about 8 or 9 years old, I tried to think, okay, what if I turned over a new leaf and I just became really soft-spoken? So I would pretend that I had laryngitis and I'd go to school, like, you know, not being able to talk very loud to get them used to the fact that I didn't talk loud anymore. I could only talk soft. And they say, what's the matter with you? What's the matter with your voice? And I would lie and say, because I wasn't saved yet, I would lie and say, well, I've got laryngitis, you know. But after about an hour in school, I would forget my little plan and I'd be back to being loud again. They say, oh, you got your big voice back, you know. And here all these years, I was trying to make myself quiet. When I became a Christian, the Lord said, I didn't create you to be quiet. I created your loud voice and your candid, you know, way that you express yourself. I created that in you so that you would be bold for me, so that you would be a proclaimer of my gospel. I didn't know that that was an attribute. I thought I was being unfeminine. I thought I was being, you know, tomboyish or whatever. I tried to shut it down a good part of my growing up years until God showed me that that was a gift. So what are your gifts? Maybe some of the gifts you have, you've tried to throw away and God keeps bouncing them back because he wants you to appreciate the way that you've been made. Champions are aware of their strengths and aware of their weaknesses so that they can overcome the weaknesses and celebrate the strength, use their strength. So a true champion acknowledges their God-given attributes and gifts. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. A true champion believes that God has a perfect plan for them to achieve their potential. Do you believe God has a blueprint for your life? And are you willing to go after that blueprint, to discover that blueprint? You know, I was just, before I came to the studio tonight, I was reading a scripture. I'm going to see if I can find it for you really quickly because the Holy Spirit's just highlighting it for me. Yeah, here it is. It's in Isaiah 45, verse 11. It says, "Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and His Maker, ask me about the things to come concerning my sons, and you shall commit to me the work of my hands." Isn't that an amazing scripture? He's actually saying there, ask me about the plans I have for you. And then once I tell you the plans, then start commanding or proclaiming, decreeing those things, and they will come to pass. Amazing. So what's God's blueprint for you? Have you asked Him? What is His purpose for you? What is your potential? What has He made you for? What is His blueprint? Because God is at work within you with a grace, a divine enablement, to not only cause you to want those things, but to perform those things. So His grace will give you the ability to want them and to do them. Now, that work of grace is so amazing. You know, a lot of times people say, well, I don't know if it's God's will. I really desire it, but I'm not sure that He wants me to have it. If you desire it, and you can tell if it's a pure desire because you feel like there's nothing that contradicts you in your spirit. But if you desire it, then why wouldn't He want you to have it? He probably is at work within you both to will. He's put the desire in there. He says if you delight in Him, He will give you the desires of your heart. One of the courses that we've taught is finding your mate. In fact, that was our last webinar. And many people have watched that particular webinar and they just loved it. But the thing that a lot of single people struggle with is saying, well, I really want to be married, but I don't know if God has that for me. Listen, if you want to be married, He has it for you. You know, so I really believe that because it's in His will for that. Okay, number three. A true champion trusts in God's ability and commitment to empower them to succeed. Do you know that the dunamis power of God, the dunamis of God is miracle working power, but it's the power of God to bring His will to pass. That dunamis is inside of you. It will cause you to prosper. So you've got it made. You've got all the ingredients to be a champion. You acknowledge your gifts, your attributes. You know that God has a perfect plan for you to achieve your potential. And you have a trust in God's ability, not your own, but His ability, to bring to pass that which is in the blueprint, to empower you to succeed. Amen? All right, characteristic number two. Let's take a look at that. And there's some, actually, if you, let me just give you a little assignment. Why don't you take some time after the seminar and describe yourself and include all your character attributes, your talents, and your gifts. I want you to celebrate yourself tonight because God celebrates you. Champions are celebrated, but that celebration comes from within you first. You have to have that within you first. So just write as much as you can. And then go over that list and say, is this an attribute of a champion? Is this gift that I have? Does this describe a champion? And I think that you'll be really excited because then you can start writing after each one. I am a champion because, and then you can write down those and go over it. Read it out loud. If you hear yourself saying it about yourself, it's really powerful to really get that core belief strong on the inside of you. Now, if you don't think yet that you've got enough attributes, would you like to become a champion? Obviously you will, or you wouldn't be taking this webinar. Just be determined to become one, even if you don't think you are one yet. And also make a list of the things that you would like to see developed in your life that would make you into a champion. All right. Now, don't forget, if you have questions or comments, to write into us at questions@xpmedia.com, and we will take those questions and answer them in the last half hour of this teaching. Here's another activation for you. Why don't you write down, and this is again after this because I want to take as much time as I can to give you the nuggets, to give you teaching, but list some thoughts of what you believe God's plan for you might be. Think about yourself as a champion, even with what you're facing right now. You might be facing a dilemma right now. Ask God, what is your plan inside of this? What is the end result of this? What do I look like as a champion in this? At the end of the course of this trial, what do I look like? What is your plan for me in this situation that I'm facing right now? And you can go broader than that too. You can say, what is your plan for my life if you want? Or what's your plan for me within this next year? What's your plan for me within in my family dynamics right now? I want to be a champion inside my home. What does that look like? What is your plan for me? I want to be a champion inside the workplace. What does that look like? What is your plan? Define that plan. And can you trust God to bring you into your fullest potential through His grace and power? Now, if you say, I don't know if I can trust Him, ask yourself, why not? What are those issues? And walk through those issues and ask Him what you can do to change that, okay? All right, now, characteristic number two. A champion has a well-defined desire and goal or intended outcome. A champion doesn't just hit the air. Like if you watch the Olympic champions, they're not just beating around saying, oh, well, you know, I'll run a race, but we'll see what happens. No way. They know what their desire is. Their desire is the gold. They're training, they're running, they're doing everything they do because of a desire that they have within their heart to be a champion, to have that gold medal. If they don't have a desire for that gold medal, they're probably not going to achieve it. Champions know what they're going for. For example, in life, I'm going for the gold. I want to stand before the Lord in that final day, and I want Him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. I want Him to look at me with delight, knowing that I ran my race for Him, that I gave Him all my gifts, everything that I lived for Him. So that's my goal in life. I know where I'm going. Therefore, everything I do in life supports that vision. If you don't have a vision, you'll perish. You need a well-defined desire and an intended outcome or a goal. Whatever you, this is a quote by motivational speaker Paul J. Meyer. He says, whatever you ardently desire, vividly imagine, and enthusiastically act upon will inevitably come to pass. Now, my father quoted that to me over and over and over as a young child, and it stayed with me. It says, whatever you ardently desire. In other words, what do you desire? Do you have a desire? Because you need one if it's going to come to pass. It needs to be clearly defined. Whatever you ardently desire, vividly imagine. In other words, if you can perceive it, if you can see it, and enthusiastically act upon, it will inevitably come to pass. And that was this motivational speaker's insight on that. A group of university students engaged in a research to determine a common denominator for success. So they studied 1,000 individuals from various income ranges that matched the overall income status percentages of that particular day. And this is what they discovered. The below income, which were people dependent on other sources like the welfare system or unemployment or program assistance, was 11% at that time. The average income earners were 69%. Above average were 17%. Highly successful were only 3%. So they went to discover the common denominator between what made these income groups what they were. Now, of course there's variables, and not all of them are going to be this is generally speaking from their research that they did. The majority, not 100%, but the majority of below average income earners lack desires or goals for living beyond their current status. They lived each day as it came and struggled through their problems, hoping to get out of their problems, but not anything clearly defined for their tomorrows. Secondly, the majority of the average income earners had hopes and dreams, but not clearly defined tangible goals or plans of actions to fulfill them. They were spinning wheels, feeling trapped in their current status, trying to make ends meet, but did not feel they could progress further. So they were like meeting their needs possibly, but not getting out of the rut. They were just maintaining. Thirdly, the third group that they studied were the majority of the average income, the majority of the above average income earners had clearly defined desires, goals, and plans of action. What made them above average was that they had clearly defined desires, goals, and plans of actions, but they didn't necessarily have them written down or ones that they communicated with others. They were fulfilling some of their goals with a huge measure of success. Now that is key. And I want you to take note of that. Are your goals clearly defined? Are your desires clearly defined? Do you know exactly what you want, or is it just like, I hope one day life will be better? Because if you have clearly defined goals, that will help you become a champion in life, no matter what area of life you're dealing with. Fourthly, the majority of the highly successful income earners had clearly defined desires, goals, and plans of action, the same as the other ones, that were both intentionally written down and acted upon. So that's what made them different. This group of people had them clearly written down so that they could see them, and they acted upon them. They also verbally shared their vision, goals, and plan of action with others in their company management, employees, families, and others. And in their discovery, you know, as they were doing their research, they found that, you know, the management would bring people in and show their whole team, whiteboard it out, and communicate that vision well. The reason why they could communicate it well is because it was clearly defined. They had it written down. They studied it out. They knew where they were going. They knew how they were going to get there. And that is really clear. Now, to give you a biblical example, that is the nature of God. God had a well-defined desire and goal in his plan of redemption for man, didn't he? He wrote it down in scripture through the prophets. He communicated it to the prophets. He had them inscribe it on the tablets. He wrote it down, and he openly communicated it over years and years and years, and he acted upon it. He had a plan of action, which is actually also written down in the scriptures. So he had a well-defined desire and goal. He wrote it down, and he had a clear plan of action that he acted on. And so that's why God, of course, He is the greatest. He is our hero. He is our example in it all. And, of course, that group of university students studied out the elements of success in the research that they did, but all they really had to do was study God. Amen? Now, Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, supports what I just said. He says, I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me. And then the Lord answered and said, record the vision. In other words, what do you see? What do you perceive? What is your desire, your goal? In this case, God had given him a word. But then he said, inscribe it on tablets. He said, record it, inscribe it on tablets, so that the one who reads it may run. When it's written down, you can run towards it. This is a Bible principle. Do you have your desire written down? Is it somewhere where you can remind yourself? Is it, you know, somewhere where you can say, oh, this is what I clearly am going after. This is what I'm going to apply my faith to. This is what I'm giving myself to. Okay? For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, because there might be some time that you have to wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. And one of the principles in this very portion of scripture is that it was not only a vision, or you could say a desire, but it was written down so that you had something to run with, something to act upon. So write down two of your most prominent, authentic, and meaningful desires in your life that are not yet fulfilled. Can you identify, even if you can just do one of them, identify that? Do you know why you're even alive? Do you know what you're living for? You know, and you can break that down. Like I shared earlier, I know what I'm living for. That is my goal in life. I'm running to know Him, to please Him, to engage with Him. That's what everything I do then supports that vision. You know, but then I also have smaller desires. Like, for example, over the last number of years, God's been teaching me about the marketplace and being a light in the marketplace, how I can give Him glory in the marketplace. And so one of my desires is to be a successful, as far as bringing fruit to and glory to Him, a successful marketplace businesswoman. Okay? So I'm not going to go into business to be a failure. I'm going to go into business to be a success and bring glory to Him, to bring light into the community, to bring light into people's lives. But I have to know what I'm going for so I can run towards that vision. So recently, we're looking at another business opportunity. I'm looking at that as a goal to extend my passion for the kingdom of God and for my King. But it's a specific goal for this time. If I write it down, if it's clear, I can run with it. I partner with the Lord. When I identify a desire in my heart, I ask the Lord, is this what you want? Is this how you want to do it? Are you giving me your green light of grace? Is your pleasure on this? Because if I feel the engagement with the Lord on my desire, then it becomes a desire I can run with. But then it's time to write it down. Write it down. So write down your most prominent, authentic, and meaningful desire in your life that is not yet fulfilled. Describe that goal, that desire, or goals with detail and definition, because the more detail you give it, the more you can see it. In other words, dream big about it. With this vision I'm dreaming about right now, with this business endeavor, if we go through with this, if it is the Lord's plan, it is to bring light and glory into the community and to bring, you know, almost like pastoral nurture into the community. And so I'm dreaming big on different ways that we can do that and use the place of business to bring light and life. You know, I'm dreaming big and thinking about different components. And if we were to do this, what would the people need and what would they like and what would help them get to know God in a greater way? And so write all those details down, and write down what you would desire them to look like in your life if they were fulfilled. Don't be afraid to dream. Champions always look to the final victory and completion of their desire. Completed desire. And so this is the goal. That's the intended outcome. So what's it going to look like at the end? Start to dream big. See yourself in that fulfilled desire. Don't be afraid to write it all out or draw pictures of it or map it out. In fact, the more you work with it and the more defined it gets, the more your faith will build for it. Think like a champion, an overcomer. All right. Characteristic number 3. A champion is passionate about their desire and their intended outcome. Review your desire or your desires that you just wrote down in the previous lesson, in the previous characteristic. Which one stirs in you the most passion? Because I found what I'm passionate about. I was talking to someone just recently about a business opportunity that they have offered to them. And I said to them, you know, when you start a new business, it takes a lot of passion. If your full passion is not there, you probably shouldn't step into it, because the passion will drive you to be a champion. Now, athletes, especially those that are running for the gold, they have passion to win. They have passion to run. Now, I don't have passion to run a race, not a physical race. Are you kidding? I would never join the Olympic team. Why? I don't have passion for it. I don't have passion for golf either. Someone said, oh, Patricia, you know, you're always involved in ministry and everything. You should do something different to be more well-rounded. Take up a sport like golfing. I thought, are you kidding? I don't have any passion for golfing. I find it the most boring sport, the most boring thing. I'd rather do anything than golf. But I would never be a good golfer because I don't have passion for it. I would probably be more stressed playing a golf game than I would you know, working on a ministry project, you know. Find out where is your passion. Go after what you're passionate about, because your passion will fuel you. That's why Olympic gold medalists win. They're passionate about that win. They're passionate about running. I have a friend of mine who likes to do mountain climbing. Oh my gosh. I can't even stand the thought of it. You know the guys that climb, you know, Mount Everest? They just think it's a blast. I just think it's horrible. Even watching the documentaries on it, I think, oh my gosh, I'm stressed just watching it. But not them. They're passionate about it. And you can see the passion in them. Whatever you are passionate about, it will drive you to be a champion. David was passionate about the glory that God was going to get by him slaying Goliath, getting Goliath out of the way, about the glory that God's name would receive. And so he was passionate about taking Goliath out. You see, what are you passionate about? Your passion is really important. You can oftentimes discern your appointed destiny outcomes by determining your passion. So what excites you about your desire? Look inside that desire. Even if it's, let's say that you want to be married. You're single right now and you want to be married. That's your greatest passion in life. If that's your passion in life, what is it? What is it that gets you most excited about being married? I asked someone about that recently. They're saying, you know, I've been single for a long time, but I want to be married. I said, why? What excites you about being married? And they say, well, just to have that camaraderie, that friend, and to have someone to cuddle up with on the couch. I mean, those are all legitimate things. Someone to pray with, someone to come into agreement in the spirit with. I get excited when I think about that, about going out to conferences together, sitting beside someone that I know is on the same page with me. That's what I get excited about. Those are good to define, because when you define your passion, then it'll fuel you in that arena. It'll build more faith. It'll focus you more when you define that passion. So define it. And list ways that you can stir up and intensify your passion. Did you know that you can actually stir your passion? For example, like, I like being in good health. I praise God. I have a healthy body. I very seldom, you know, get afflicted with an infirmity unless I've been wearing my body down or something like that. So, which isn't good to do, you know, especially with all the traveling I do, I can tend to wear the body down a little bit. But for the most part, I have a healthy body and I love having a healthy body. But there's certain things that make a healthy body that I don't enjoy. Like, for example, I don't enjoy exercise, you know, and most people can tell that I don't enjoy exercise, but what stirs my passion for it is to think of the benefits. I want to be in good health. I want to be healthy. I want to be strong. I want to have vitality. I want to, you know, live long in my old age, be strong. You know, so I've got to sow into that now. So when I think about the benefits, it creates passion in me for something I don't actually have passion for. It's the same with eating healthy food. I mean, I don't always, you know, like sometimes, you know, if you were to put a big piece of chocolate cake in front of me, you know, I might like to really eat that up and maybe have a second piece, you know. But what would keep me on eating something more healthier, like maybe an apple or something, would be when I examine the benefits of good health and what the apple will give me towards my health rather than a chocolate cake. When I look at the consequence, it stirs passion in me for the right thing. So stir up your passion. List ways that you can stir up and intensify your passion for your desire. So if weight loss is your desire, what are ways that you can stir up passion for the things it takes to bring that about? Now, gifting without passion will not produce a champion. I was on an airplane one time and I sat beside a man and I asked him what he did. And he said that he was a professional sports coach. I said, really? I said, what is, you know, like when you're coaching someone or when you're looking for a client, what is the thing that you look for as you're looking for champions? Because he creates champions. And he says, well, by far, it would be passion. He said, I've had a lot of people that I've coached that have gifting like you wouldn't believe that never become champions because they lack passion. And yet, I have had kids with passion, but no gifting that actually become champions. He said, passion is the main ingredient. So how can you raise up your passion level for what you want to achieve? Because the more passion you have, the more you'll be fueled to accomplish your goal and to be an overcomer, to be a champion. And that's what athletes do, you know, weightlifters and boxers and, you know, tennis players. They get passionate about achieving their goal, about stretching themselves to the next level, and about winning the prize. That's why they become champions, because they stir their passion. And that stirred passion is what creates in them the ability to do all the exercise and everything it takes to become the champion. It's passion. Okay. I'm going to pass over some of the things in my notes because we don't have time to go through this all, and I want to give you as much as I can tonight. But you can always go online at patriciakinglifecoach.com and get the entire course. You can download it actually into your computer, or you can order the hard copy, and we've got the kids edition there too, so feel free to order that on patriciakinglifecoach.com. Okay, characteristic number 4 of a champion. A champion is determined. They're determined, and they believe in their ability through God to accomplish their desire and intended outcome. You will not find a champion that lacks determination. A champion is confident and determined. It comes from your core belief on the inside. They believe that they will accomplish their desired end. They will believe it and do it. And so they're absolutely determined. David was determined to slay Goliath. He didn't doubt. He was determined and he was confident. And he was a champion because he believed in God's power to grant him his desired end. For example, he even went to Saul and said, hey, what do I get for taking this giant out? I'm not afraid to challenge this guy, because he was determined to win. He had confidence that he would win because he knew his God. He knew that he was in covenant with God and that God would give him the desires of his heart. Esther was also a champion, and she was determined to save her nation at a critical hour, no matter what it took. She was determined and she was confident. She believed in God's ability and plan to save the nation and to use her, that he would use her to accomplish this. She was a fearless and determined champion, and so are you. Amen? God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or even think, according to the power that works within you. And that power begins by believing in who God made you to be, and believing in his power that is at work within you. His dunamis power, his miracle working power, his accomplishing power is inside of you. Unlock it. Let it flow. Jesus said, all things are possible. Only believe. That's Mark 9, verse 23. You can also find that, by the way, in Matthew 19, 26 and Mark 10, 27. So what area of your life would you like to become more determined in order to be a champion in that area? Sometimes you just have to buck up and say, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to keep pressing through until I get it. I had a talk with my grandson a few months ago, and he was struggling with something, and I said, you know, don't give up. He was, you know, having a little whining spout. I said, don't give up. Just go for it. You can do it. You can do it. Be determined. You can do it. Come on, a little bit more, a little bit more. You can do it. And I finally coached him into doing it, because he just needed some determination to be put inside of him. I remember with my granddaughter, when I was teaching her how to balance herself on the bicycle. You know, it's hard when you've never done that before. And looks easy when you see other people doing it, but when you get on it and you start faltering and falling, you could just give up right away. And after a fall or two, you cry, I don't want to do this anymore. But no, you get back on that bike and you keep going for it, because you're going to ride this bike well. And before you know it, there they are, riding bikes and other things as well. All right? So examine your life. What area do you want to be really determined in to be a champion? You can be a champion. You can make the changes. And what determined changes can you make in your life to secure your victory and to champion your cause? Okay, let's go on to the next one. Characteristic number 5 of a champion. A champion has a clear and intentional plan of action to accomplish the desired and intended outcome. So simply having a well-defined desire isn't going to bring it to pass, okay? You have to do something about it. For example, I was sharing with a young man a little while back, and he really wanted to be married. You know, he said, I want to be married too. He had his list. It was written down. Boy, did he have a list. It was written down. And I said, well, what are you doing to find this one? He said, I just believe God will bring that one. I said, no, it says in the Bible, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Seek and you will find. You need a plan of action. Where are you going to go to find this woman? You know, maybe put down on a plan of action how you're going to pray, how you're going to make decrees, how you're going to, you know, go out to different places to look, you know, what places are you going to seek in order to find your wife, you know? And he just thought he could just sit back and dream. Okay, your dream's not going to bring your spouse to you. What is the plan of action? Now, God had a desire, like we talked about earlier, to redeem mankind from his sin. But he also had a plan of action. And he did things within timelines of history in order to bring that to pass. For example, he gave the law through Moses so that he could show the covenant of the Old Testament that had to be fulfilled by the New, and all the things he spoke to the prophets. He had all these things in this timeline. It says, in the fullness of time, Jesus came forth. And then he had the plan all written out that Jesus would go to the cross and become our sin. He had that all as part of his master plan of action. So not only he had the plan, but he actually acted on it. He had timelines set for each aspect of it. So here's an example for you, just to give you an idea of how this works. Let's say a woman was in a battle against weight gain. She wanted to be a champion, and she wanted to overcome the problem of obesity that she had fought for years unsuccessfully. So her intended outcome, her goal, was to lose 100 pounds of excess weight in 15 months. So that's a really good goal, and it's well defined. But also to establish healthy eating and exercise patterns in her life. So that also is a good goal. So she's got her goals well defined. That's awesome. But then she had to have a plan. What is going to be her plan? How is she going to accomplish that desire? Because those are great desires. But how are you going to accomplish it? So her first thing was she officially committed her desire to the Lord and to ask for his help, to ask for his direction, to ask for grace, his empowerment. That was her first plan of action, was that she would commit this to him. Her second point on her plan of action was to make an appointment with a nutritionist, because she had a lot of weight to lose, and she wanted to do it in a right way that would be healthy for her. So she made an appointment with a nutritionist to obtain wisdom for a sensible and healthy diet plan. Thirdly, her next step of action was to study nutrition and to renew her thinking about healthy and sensible eating. Fourth, she would sign up for low-impact exercise classes. Her next plan in the action plan, her next point, was to create a simple daily exercise routine for 15 minutes per day and graduate to 30 minutes within the year. Six, to hire a Christian life coach to keep her encouraged, empowered, and on track. The seventh thing was to proclaim decrees of victory every day in order to remind herself that she is the champion in this battle. I like that one. The next one was that she would write down her goals and post them in various places in her home so that she would be reminded constantly of her goal, of her intended outcome. Nine was she invited two good friends to be on her accountability team. And 10, to set reasonable goals each month to measure her achievement. So I think that is a great plan of action. By the way, for any of you that are interested in a really good weight loss program, but also it's more like a health program to rejuvenate yourself, to renew your mind, to strengthen your body, and to set new standards in life for your well-being, we have a great coaching course called Power Weight Loss and Rejuvenation. And it's a 40-day feasting program. It's actually fasting all the bad foods that are hard on your colon and everything, and feasting on all the good foods. So it covers the cleansing of the colon, the cleansing of the liver and kidneys, and the cleansing of the blood and lymphatic system, and then a transitional part over 40 days so that you're renewed in your mind and renewed in your body. So you can get that on the patriciakinglifecoach.com site as well. All right, so what is your plan of action? Make a plan of action to fulfill your goals and your desires. Okay, let's go on to the next characteristic. Let me give you just one more point on this. A champion overcomes obstacles and challenges with determination and endurance. Champions do not give up when there is a challenge. If you are pursuing a goal, believe me, you will face some challenges. It's not just, okay, I've got this desire, and I'm going to pursue the desire, and everything's easy street. In fact, it's the resistance training that actually builds your core in who you are as a person and establishes you in the victory. And so when resistance comes, expect it. Say, this is a good thing, but I have endurance, and I'm going to test my endurance. I am going to test my determination with this. And so identify the challenge or the problem and determine your intended outcome for it. Remember, you're a winner. When you think of yourself as being a champion, that you're a winner, you're a hero, then you're going to think the winning outcome. Write your intended outcome on a card and post it where you'll be reminded. That'll help you. Seek a solution to the problem. What is the solution? What do you need to learn in order to implement your solution? An activation, apply what you've learned to the problem. Be a doer of the word that God gives you. And then evaluate, measure the fruit. What worked and what didn't work? What lessons did you learn from the problem that you're facing? You know, one of my heroes is Walt Disney, and I've shared this in other coaching courses. I just love his example, because everyone knows him as the creator of Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse is probably one of the most famous animated characters in the world, and probably the richest one if he could receive money into his own pocket. But Walt Disney created him, and he's famous for that. But did you know that before Walt Disney created Mickey Mouse, he first of all worked for a company where he created another character, and it was stolen from him with copyrights and everything. So then he created Mickey Mouse. But when he pitched Mickey Mouse, all the investors laughed at him. They said, no one's going to want a mouse. I mean, a mouse, hello, give me a break, you know? So the first attempt was a failure. The second one, he went back to the drawing board, created more on the mouse. He just couldn't, he was determined. He didn't care what he had to endure, that mouse was going to live. So he did the second round and took it to investors and that. And again, he was rejected. There was rejection all over Mickey Mouse. The third time that he put effort into it, he actually experienced personal bankruptcy as a result. But he was determined, absolutely determined to make it a success. Why? Because Walt Disney is a champion, and so is Mickey Mouse. And so after the third failure, a investor came, and I mean, the rest is history. Mickey Mouse is famous. Walt Disney is a hero. Come on. He is a champion. He endured. So examine this. What are some of the things that have kept you from fulfilling your desires and your dreams in the past? When you hit obstacles, did you give up? Did you think it was too hard? Even with weight loss, you know, many times people will be going on a roll and then they'll have one little kickback and they think, oh, I'm a failure now. And they go right back to where they were before instead of rising up and overcoming that situation. Same with, I've heard people that really want to be married and they say, well, I don't know if I can set myself up again because I'm too afraid I might, you know, have a failure. And I thought, you are going to abort your dream because you had a failure in the past? Come on. Endure, overcome, be a champion, go for it until you win, until you win, until you win. There's people in life who have overcome so much. I really admire Michael J. Fox, who has got a challenge of Parkinson's. But he doesn't let that stop him. He keeps moving forward. He's still, you know, producing a TV program and just going for it. And he's not giving up. And he's overcoming obstacles and raising money for awareness so that there can be scientific breakthroughs and things like that. He doesn't give up. He's running his race with strength. Don't give up. Endure. Run your race. Rise up. Don't be afraid of your future. Okay, characteristic number 7. A champion is focused. Focused. Champions are focused on their intended outcome. I just had the privilege recently of meeting with a billionaire in Hollywood who has been very successful in many aspects of his career. And I was asking him some questions about his success, and he said that the biggest thing for him is focus. He said, I don't scatter myself on all different things. I don't have a whole bunch of stuff going on at one time. I stay focused, focused, focused. Because he said, if you're focused, you will be successful. You stay focused, you put all your energy into it, and you build the momentum. You stay focused. And I know that to be true. Focus is important. If you get too spread out in too many different areas, you break your focus, you won't be successful in anything. So focus on your intended outcome. Focus on your desire. Stay focused until it comes to pass. Now, once you gain victory here, and then another victory there, and another victory there, eventually those things take on their own environment. The focus of that creates an environment of victory, an environment of championship, that even later, when you're not even focused on that area, it'll continue because your focus created the realm. Now, in my book, Create Your World, if you don't have it yet, honestly, order it. You can order it also on patriciakinglifecoach.com. You can get the downloadable version, but get it because it gives you 12 keys in scripture on how to create realms and atmospheres. You can actually create realms of championship in your life. You can create realms of success. The Bible gives you the keys to do it. And focus is one of the keys, one of the 12 keys. When you focus, it creates a realm that will then carry itself after it's created. And so it's worth spending time keeping a focus until the life of that vision is sustained. Champions are focused on their intended outcome. And they are intentional in doing what it takes to accomplish their goal. Now, intentionality is a huge word in this season. Intentionally focus your efforts on achieving your goal. For example, Deborah and Barak in Judges 4 had a mandate from God to take out Sisera. They had the word of the Lord to take out Sisera. And so they became champions for God in that battle. But what made them champions is their focus. Now, Deborah was a prophetess. She prophesied to Barak the Lord's intended outcome for the battle. So she was part of that team. So as one of God's champions, Barak, and Barak was a champion. A lot of times I hear people speak about Barak as being this wimpy man who didn't have much strength to him because he let a woman boss him around. That is not the right picture. In fact, Barak is listed in the list of heroes in Hebrews 11. And so he was a very, very powerful man of faith. The reason he wanted Deborah to go with him into the battle was because in those days, only the prophets had the word of God. What he was actually saying, I will not go into battle without the word of God going with me. Because he had so much respect and reverence for the word of God and so much respect and reverence for the office that Deborah carried. So Deborah and Barak were both heroes. Barak focused on the intended victory and he did not lose his focus. Now, initially, he had a victory. Many of Sisera's army fled, and Sisera fled, but Barak, he didn't stop there because it wasn't the full fulfillment. It was only a partial fulfillment of the victory. But his intended outcome was the full meal deal. So he continued to persist until the fullness of the Lord's desire was met. So he actually knew prophetically that a woman was going to take Sisera down, and we know Jael did. And he knew that because Deborah had prophesied that to him. She said, the victory will be given to a woman. So therefore, as a champion, Barak still just persisted to pursue Sisera until he saw that prophecy fulfilled. So when he came into Jael's camp and saw Sisera dead with the tent peg through his temple, then he knew that his assignment was over because he saw it all the way through to the end. He remained focused. He never lost his focus. He didn't halfway through say, oh, well, I got, you know, all the armies fleeing, Sisera fled, and I know a woman's going to take her out, so I guess I'll go home and have tea. No, he remained focused until the complete desired outcome was done. Now, God wants you to stay focused until it's finished. Now, for me, I'm a visionary. And so one of my weaknesses over the years of development was that I would start things really strong but not finish strong. So I was I love to start new things. I'm an entrepreneur too, so I love to start new things, but I didn't finish things well. I had to learn to stay focused and endure until the finish. Now, I'm not only a strong visionary, but I'm a strong finisher as well. I finish as strong as I start, okay? But I had to train myself to do that by keeping focused until the desired outcome came through. Otherwise, I'd start many things and never finish them. Oh my gosh, I had a sewing room that had so many projects started, but none of them complete. So I had to train myself to be a strong finisher. Especially in ministry, I think that's really important, isn't it? All right, so identify things for yourself that distract your focus. What are some of the things that have distracted your focus in the past, and what things are distracting your focus now? For example, if my goal is to finish my life strong in seeking the Lord and becoming His friend, and I get distracted by emails, I need to be aware of that. Because here I am trying to have my quiet time, but the computer's right there. I think, oh, maybe I'll just answer an email or two. That's a distraction. If I'm aware of that, I can push the distraction away and say, no, I'm going to remain focused. What are your distractions? What are distracting you from becoming a champion, from enjoying your intended outcome? Write down some of the things that you would like to do to direct your focus. What are some things that you can do to strengthen your focus? Think on that. In Philippians 9:24-27, I'm going to read this to you, and I believe that it's going to empower you. It says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? And remember I said earlier, no one else can run your race because your life's race is only, it only has your name on it. So you're the only one who can run that race, okay? So run in such a way that you may win. In other words, accomplish what you were created for. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. So Paul, he would discipline his body. Now, discipline is helpful, especially when you invite the grace of God to engage in that empowerment to discipline. It'll make you a strong person. That's why sports, athletic champions are champions. It's because they have made their body. You know, it says pain is gain. In that athletic field, oftentimes that is so true because they push themselves over the limit for the joy set before them, not because of, you know, they'll be a more valuable person, but it's because it helps them achieve their goal. And so discipline the body. Make it your slave. Your body will oftentimes want to be contrary to the will and purpose of God that He has for you. So make it your slave. Make it work for you. You know, bring your soul into submission. Exercise control over it. It's fun. And think of it as being fun. You know, attitude is everything. If you think, oh, this is so much fun getting to exercise my will over this, you know, getting to be strong, you know, just like athletes find it fun to win their prize and to do their training, and they go back the next day and the next day and the next day because there's this enjoyment of pushing themselves to the next goal, not because of having to, but because they want to. Not because you have to, because you want to. Okay? So keep that in mind. All right. Here's number 8. A champion actually obtains their desire and intended outcome. That's what makes them a champion, right? Is when they obtain it. You don't have just everyone running the race for the gold is the champion, but the one who obtains the win is the champion. So a champion is known as a champion because they fulfilled their goal. They won the prize. Now in Philippians 9 verse 24 again, it says, do you not know those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may win. Now again, I want to review this. If you believe in your heart that you're a winner and choose to believe that, if you believe in your heart that you are a winner, then that will propel you to finish strong. Whatever you take on, say, I'm a champion. I've been made a champion by God. I'm not a loser. I'm a winner. I'm not the tail. I'm the head. I'm not below. I'm above. I know who I am. And by the way, the decree book that I have, and you can get that online too on patriciakinglifecoach.com. Just go to the store section and you can download it there. It is amazing because as you make those decrees, you're decreeing your championship in God. You're decreeing who you are in Christ. You're decreeing the truth about who you are. And it will strengthen your core. So it'll make you a champion in many areas of life when you speak it, when you decree it, when you begin to believe it, when you choose to believe the truth about what God says about you. So, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Let's look at this one too. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. A true champion never loses. You will never lose. Why? The battle is not over until you win. You just keep fighting until you win, until you know that inside you've run your race well, and God's the one who determines the win, not circumstances, not other people's choices. God says, well done, good and faithful servant. God is the one that says, I'm giving you a gold prize. I'm giving you the gold because your faith has endured. I'm giving you the prize of blessing because your faith has endured. The battle is not over until you win. The race is not over until you finish. The cause is not fulfilled until you settle it. You are a champion. So just as Jesus has given you the victory already, it was already given to you at 2,000 years ago, as he has done that for you, you can take hold of that victory in him today. You can start by beginning to believe in who you are. You are a champion. You're a champion in your walk with God. You're a champion over every spiritual battle that will come your way. You're a champion in your financial releases. You're a champion in relationships. You're a champion in your ability to have your desires in life fulfilled. It doesn't matter what you are facing right now or who you are facing right now. Jesus is with you. He is on your side. He is the champion of champions. And you are more than a conqueror in Christ. I tell this story oftentimes. I love it. It's like, it's the definition of a champion. Is that even as it says in the Bible that you are more than a conqueror through Christ. Here's the picture. There's a boxer boxing in this heavy match. The prize is $1 million. He's going to play that sport for everything he has. Finally, he gives the final punch and his opponent is down, out on the floor. The referee goes 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, five, four, three, two, one. Ding, 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 ding. And he holds up his arm and said, this is the champion. This is the champion of this match. He wins the $1 million prize. And all the press is there and they're taking pictures. And he gets this big trophy and they come out with this big board with a $1 million check written on it. He's the champion. He's written up in the newspapers as the champion. Everyone in the place is cheering because he is the champion. But when he goes home and signs that check over to his wife, she is more than a champion. She is more than a conqueror. Do you get it? Jesus already gave you the victory in all things. He fought for your cause. He gave you your victory. Now you get to ride on that. You get to take that check to the bank. What are you facing right now? What trauma, what trials, what things are harassing you? Because those are the things that God has given you the victory in. And the more victory you take, if you get on a momentum of victory, you'll create more victory. Victory creates victory. It's like a snowball effect. If you have defeat and you roll that snowball down a hill of defeat, it'll just get bigger and bigger and bigger. It's very important that you just stop that cycle of defeat and say, I'm not going to be defeated anymore. I refuse defeat. I absolutely refuse it. Because most of the time that we suffer defeat after defeat after defeat because we put up with it and we believe that we're defeated. No, you are a winner in Christ. You are more than a conqueror. Start taking little victories, one at a time, a little bit at a time. Win, 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 and gain your momentum of victory. Because once you gain that momentum, it'll fill your life. It'll create your realm. Now, I want to invite you, we have a few minutes left to answer questions. Write into questions@xpmedia.com. We're going to be answering questions now or taking your comments and that. So please write in and we will answer them. And we have a couple of ones here already. I want to also let you know about our next webinar, and please tell your friends about this. On July 16, we're going to be teaching angels and their assignments. Angels and their assignments. That's on July 16. So that'll be our next webinar, and it'll be at 6 o'clock Pacific time, and I'm going to be teaching it. I'm really looking forward to that. I love the subject. In fact, my husband and I just moved into a new house just this last week, and last night I had three angels show up at different times, and I'm so excited about it. But I love angels. They're messengers from God. They're his servants to come and serve you and I as heirs of salvation. And so we're going to be teaching angels, their assignments, and how to discern them so that you'll know how to discern them. Also, coming up this week, starting Thursday night, we are having the webcast. Our class is actually full, but the webcast is still available for the Glory School. So if you haven't taken the Glory School, I want to encourage you to get a hold of that webcast. Just go online, xpmedia.com, go to the events page, and go down to where it gives you the events page. You can sign up for the webcast. Now, the thing about the webcast is that they're archived for you. So let's say that you live in a different country or you're working during the day and you can't get in on the live ones. They're archived, so you can watch them. You can download them and watch them whenever you want. So they're really worth getting. And we're going to be doing them right here in the studio. We're going to have a lot of interaction, so it's going to be really sweet. And so just there's lots of room to sign up for the webcast. And so just go for that. Then August 13, we're doing another webinar with Robert Hodgkin on birthing revival. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about revival, is that we are not only contending for a move of the Spirit like history has never seen before, but we are actually hosting revival tent meetings called the Big Tent Event, October 24th to November 2nd. There is so much excitement about this event. In fact, I've got ministry friends from all over the world who are flying in for it. They say, we just have to be at this event. So we know God's going to move powerfully. We have 12 speakers, 10 days, morning, noon, and night in this open tent. We've got a tent big enough to hold about 2,000 people. And we're just excited about what God is going to do. It's going to be an amazing time. We want you to come. And if you want to volunteer with us, just email Sally at xpmedia.com and tell her that you want to be a volunteer, and she'll get you connected with the right email address and the information that you need to be part of our tent team. We'll do it all together. It's going to be so amazing. We're believing for salvations, for lots of healing miracles, so bring the sick, deliverance, but also signs and wonders. And we actually believe that we might be having a visitation of the man of fire, Jesus, the baptism with fire. We're believing for that. So put that on your docket. Also, just to give you an update, I'm really excited about this, is that we are building our first documentary as a ministry, and it's called Baptized with Fire, and it's based on a prophetic word I have on the baptism of fire. It's going to be off the charts. We're getting major speakers from around the world speaking into it, and you know, people from different backgrounds. It's just amazing. We're going back into history, revealing some things, and people's testimonies that they already have had about the visitation of the fire of God and the man of fire himself, Jesus Christ. We're so excited about it. It is going to be amazing. We're doing some reenactments as well. And we have just set up a website today, actually. It's brand new. I'm going to give it to you. And you can see it. Just one second here. I want to find the website for you. Here it is. It is called, okay, baptizedwithfire.com. You can go there. And this documentary we're doing on a very reasonable budget, because we already have a lot of our equipment and team, so it's really cut down on expenses, but there's still a lot of expenses needed. And so the full documentary is only going to cost $55,000. So we want to encourage you to donate into it. In fact, I thought if we had 55 people just that would give $1,000 each, it's done. Or maybe there's some of you that can donate more. But go on baptizedwithfire.com and just have a look at it and pray over it. And pray about giving, because even if we had, you know, a whole thousands of people giving $50 each, oh my gosh, we could have it done in no time. All we need is 1,000 people, $50 each, and we've got it paid for. So, excited about you being involved in that. Let's partner together and crank out these things for the world to see. Okay. Here's a question. How do I keep the faith when I don't see breakthrough coming? I believe I am a champion, but sometimes it does not look like it in reality. Oh my gosh, I totally get that. You know, go back to God. This is what I do when my faith gets shaken, is I go back to God and say, God, can I come back to you again? Can you refresh my faith? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the promise of God, or hearing by the rhema word of God. And so just go back to him and let him refresh your faith, and then make a deliberate choice to believe what he said. And sometimes praying in tongues helps build up that faith. That really helps. And God bless you for believing that you're a champion. Even if it doesn't look like it, you are a champion. Amen. Next question. I can't seem to ever achieve my goals. How do I press in with the strength and courage to follow all the way through to the finish? Can I make a suggestion that has helped a lot of people, and it helped me years ago when I was breaking the membrane? Is just make smaller goals. Make really small goals. Ones that you know that you can achieve, because it's that like snowball effect. And so if you can achieve a small goal and then tick it off, then make another small goal and check it off, then make another small one, check it off, and then make a little bit bigger one, and then finish it strong. And what you'll do is you'll gain momentum through the joy of achieving goals. That's what I did to have my breakthrough. And now I achieve every goal I set now, every single one. But I had to kind of work with smaller things, and I created a snowball effect. So now my goals are bigger, and the victories are bigger. So there you go. I hope that'll help you. Gosh, I love you guys. You know what? It's weird that I can actually feel your presence when I'm in the studio here. When I'm talking through this camera, I actually feel engaged with you. I love that. Okay. Here's another question. How do I keep a mindset of a champion? One of the ways that helps me is that I like making decrees from my decree book. And if you can decree the whole book, you know, and it keeps your mindset on the truth of what God says about you. Because what your own carnal mind will say about you is contrary to what God says about you. The enemy's words are contrary to what God says about you. So a champion believes what God says. And so that means your mindset has to be renewed by the truth. And so make decrees. And you can get that book on patriciakinglifecoach.com. Just order it off there and we'll send it to you. Or you can actually just download it. It is amazing. And make those decrees about who you are in Christ. Okay. Next question. Oh, I've got some more here too. Okay. At what times is it appropriate to step out in pursuing a godly goal? To step out in pursuing a godly goal, even if you haven't clearly heard from the Lord that it is His plan for you personally. That is, what is the difference between motivation and selfish ambition? I have had much difficulty with this question. Well, what I feel, like what I look for is what I call the green light of grace. When I have a desire and a goal, commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him and He will perform it, right? So when you have a goal, put it before the Lord and make sure you've got that inner witness that He's with you in it. Because you don't want to go anywhere where He's not. That's why Moses said, if you don't go with us, don't lead us up from this place. So He doesn't have to initiate it. He gave us desire to initiate. But check with Him so that it's not like He's saying, no, that's not healthy for you, or no, that's not good for you. You know, check with Him and get His word on it. And that'll really help you. And that'll keep your motivation pure. Just get the word of the Lord on it. Get His green light of grace. Get that witness deep in your spirit. And the witness of God, it's not on the top of your head. It goes deep. It goes deeper inside that peace, that inner peace that you have. That's what I call the green light of grace. Okay. Final. What do I do when it seems like I can get victories on small things, but not on big ones? I'm grateful for the little victories, but long for breakthrough in the bigger areas. What is the key to victory on the next level? One of the things, again, this might help you, is that I'll take a big vision. Like, for example, our vision as a ministry is to end modern day slavery in our lifetime. Okay, that's a pretty big goal, okay? Now, if I look at that goal, I feel like a complete failure right now because it looks like things are escalating instead of things getting better. But what I'm doing is looking at the little goals that work toward the bigger goals. So my little goal is, number one, we're going to rescue kids. So we do that. And by the way, if any of you want to help us in that, we really do need funds right now to help children at risk. And I really ask that you would help us if you can. Just go online at xpministries.com and donate. But anyways, when we win those little battles, it goes towards the big one. Another goal that I have is to be a voice for that so I can activate other ministries. There's way more ministries today than there were 5 years ago because of us fulfilling our little goals. So we're making headway. So take your big goal and put a whole bunch of little goals toward the big goals, and eventually your big goal will be fulfilled. Okay, final question. How do I deal with a needy family member whose emotional issues repeatedly detract you from your focusing on goals? Where and how do you set healthy boundaries? Whoa. Well, that is a subject in itself, but I would say seek the Lord for wisdom, because of course you don't want to hurt your family member, but sometimes you can hurt them by giving in. So you do need your healthy boundaries. And you have your life too to live before God. And you're responsible for that. So like, if there's a distraction from that, you might have to address the distraction and say, I am good with this, but I'm setting my boundaries. I'm going to love you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to pray for you. But this is my goal right now that I need to live for, because God is with me in this. And so I trust that helps. I want to proclaim the champion anointing over all of you as we close. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bless each and every one of you to be champions in Jesus Christ, who is the victor of all. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath.